Is this called consented rape? I don't know what it's called. I just knew I had not consented. I just knew it was either that or be beaten throughout the process.
This podcast is highly sponsored by Thrivees. Thrivees is the first mental health product line with affordable products you can use whenever you need something to lean on for emotional or mental support. Currently, we have coloring books of all ages and affirmation mugs. There are some new products coming up, so you need to make sure that you check out Thrivees on Instagram and Facebook so that you don't miss out on the updates. And yes, listener donations are also welcome. You can drop your donation on 0770338440. The number is registered in the names of Navu Network. If you're not in Uganda, remember to add the country code +256 770338440. Hey, welcome to Hashtag Window Because Chiwanuka. This is the number one African millennial podcast that sits at the intersection of mental health, self-discovery, and personal growth. If you're new here, welcome to your new virtual home. Be sure you hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening in so that you don't miss out on any of the future episodes. And if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for being the heartbeat of this show. Part two of Helen Kaba Who Cares conversation is here. And if you have not listened to part one, you are duly expelled. Please go back and listen to the first part because that way you will have the genesis of this whole conversation. So without further ado, let's dive into it. But of course, I can't bring my child there because the house, when it rains, it floods. So I can't, you know, put a child in such a condition. But somehow my friends come through for me and buys me a bed, another one. Like they buy things for me and somehow I survive. But again, the other thing of I need to prove a point is still in my head. Of course, some other guy comes and proposes marriage. And this one is born again and stuff. Now I'm born again by that time, right? So I need the miracles to come a bit quicker. Need to show people I have a good. He's working.
And he's working. So this guy is born again and everything. But I think I'm aware of my worth by then. I'm not scared of single motherhood. It's something that I've won and I don't care. I'm bitter. I am everything. I'm toxic. I am failed. Everything. I'm like, it's okay. So this guy starts acting fine. I just do like this. I'm like, because for him, he came and said, I really love you, but the problem is that I'm not taking care of anybody else's child. I'm like, Andreas comes with me. Because now, that time when I met, I started being aware of my being conscious of whatever I was doing. I was still angry. I was still with all the, but at least I was more conscious. If I tell you I beat Andreas between the age of 1 and 2 badly, like sometimes I cringe every time I look back at that time. I'm like, but why was I beating a 1-year-old like that? People underestimate the anger of a single mom.
Yeah.
Sitting down and realizing you're frustrated, you're sacrificing, you're losing every bit of you because of this child. People don't want to admit this, but you lose a significant amount of time when you give birth. It multiplies when you're a single mom. If you're going to meet development in about a year, that's count it in 5. Because everything about you then becomes your child. And I was not willing to agree to that. I still wanted to live my life. I still wanted to go out and be a hustler and be a career lady. Guys, balancing mom and career. I'm seated here. But today to come here to work, I left Andreas alone in the house. And I wasn't even scared. I was like, yeah, sort yourself out. That's how we've had to grow.
Can we wind this up?
Right now, my brother is home.
Okay. I'm like, no, I'm not part of this.
No, my brother is home now. My brother had left, so, and I had to go and do some my errands. But the thing is that Andreas now is so, my child is so independent, it scares me sometimes. And then I realize I'm part of the problem. I got him where he is. But I'm so grateful because for me, I can't say I'm a mother, yes, but Andreas has another mother. The lady that raised the babysitter that held him since 9 months. That's his other mother. That's the only person he has called mommy and I've not even been jealous. I'm not the first person he called mommy. He called the babysitter first. I didn't get to know that my child can speak like a mouth because he would be with me and be quiet. Until that day I came back, Ali called home and I had someone.
I'm like, who's that? Which child did you bring? Ngabe. He's like, eh? What do you mean, which child? That's your son.
Like, my son talks. Since when?
Wow.
They're like, eh, this boy has been talking for like a month now. He knows everybody's name. And for me, when he saw me like this, immediately he kept quiet. And I was like,
oh. You were a stranger?
Yeah. So I realized, okay, my child hates me. Because every time I'm either barking, slapping, doing something, I was like, okay, I'm in trouble. And then by the time he was 2 hours on ATM, and ice, and food. Those were the only conversations we're having. But then you'd find him with Nalongo and they are talking. Like they are these conversations and they are laughing. And I'm like, but I don't laugh. Yeah, why don't we have conversations? And then I'm like, but we are always beating him. When are you going to have conversations? I'm like, maybe. He's like, yeah, he tells me. There are days he started staying there permanently now, remember? So I'd come and pick him and in one day he tells me, take me back. And that's the only conversation you get out of him.
Oh my God.
Take me back to my mommy. And he'll cry. You beat him and he'll still continue and like, me, take me. And you carry him. And the moment he's, you're like, the hands go like this, sweet, bye. And he looks the other way and those things would hurt me. But then I realized I'm like, I'm an absentee mother. But remember, the other thing is ringing in my head. So I kept on saying, I'm slowly becoming like my mother. And the lady one day sat me down, I think at 3, Andreas was kidnapped by the dad. And that's the time I broke down and I realized I love my child and I am not willing to lose my child. And I remember praying every day about it. No matter what prophecy I got, there's a prophet who came out and said, Helen, you're getting back your child in December. The lady that prophesied to me didn't even know that they had taken my child. He just came and told me, like, Helen, the Lord is aligning and he's saying in December, before Christmas. It's your Christmas gift from him. You think me, I was waiting for Christmas. By the time they're telling me those things, I'm in August. Eh? So you can't... You're telling me before Christmas? What are you talking about before Christmas? Can it be tomorrow?
So why does this guy choose to abduct or kidnap the boy?
He comes and he says, oh, I'm sorry and I'm waiting now to take care of the kid.
And you're just taking him by force?
And no, he doesn't. They didn't take him by force. Funny thing is, they came properly to me. They're like, I'm sorry. They're typical apologies. We are waiting to take care of the kid now. I'm like, sure. They're like, but we want him to know where he comes from. I'm like, as long as I'm going with you, to know. We get there and the lady tells me, first go finish the things you have to finish. Let him be here for this car holiday and then come back for him after like Easter period. Make sure. So of course I get to this side. I'm like, let him rest for like a full month. Eh? Let me just. Then the lady at church comes and tells me, Helen, the Lord says, go pick your child. I'm like, how did you know I left my child somewhere? So I'm like, it's okay, let me go pick. Did they give me the child? The woman collected every friend of hers to come and insult me on how I'm a terrible mother. I left and I said, good again? No.
That's the grandmother?
Yes. So from about May, June, July, August, September, October, November, I get the child back in December.
How did you manage?
When I tell people God, no one will believe me. Like I said, I would cry every day on pulpit. There's this girl who joins choir. She was new, day one. And while we're praying, she turns to me and says, I feel like I'm going to insult you, but I just see it and I have to say it. I'm like, yes. I'm seeing a child like 3 years old running towards you.
And my eyes brighten. I'm like, yes, please, yes. What?
She's like, you have a child. I'm like, please, tell me. She's like, the Lord says, never distrust him again. He's the one that put you where you are. You have survived now. Like, even with the little you say you had, he is the one that was behind it all. And yet you chose to distrust him and say, maybe the child could have a better life where he is. I'm like, yes. I felt like, no, we'll be able to work together. It's like, the Lord says the child is coming back, but don't repeat it again. Never not trust him again. I was like, I'll never. Then the woman, when the girl came out, she's like, wait, you have a child? I'm like, yes. And that's how all my choir members actually noticed that I haven't taken long without coming with my child. They're like, wait, by the way, Helen, who is your child? So the kid was like, And then I was done with that. I remember the prophet came to pray and he kept on just praying for me. Other people, he was giving prophecies. Me, he was just praying. And the only thing that was on my mind was like, Father Lord, if you bring back Andreas, I will never, ever, ever take him away from my sight again. I'll keep him within the sights that we are used to, me and you. Whew. Come December, he wants to get married.
But the woman he's getting married to, and Andreas's dad, the mother does not approve. So Prophet Elvis had told me, not directly actually to me, but he was on pulpits, and he said, there comes a rift. And these people are fighting, but they don't realize it is God making them fight. Because at the end of the day, you are the one that benefits. What they are fighting over is actually yours. But then they look between each other, and then each one of them comes to you trying to manipulate you. They do not know it is the work of the Lord. But the Lord says, when it finally comes into your hands, do not let it go, no matter what. And I remember being at church and saying, Father Lord, that's me. That's me. And just felt it within me, because no one was even saying amen, because I think they weren't relating. Me, I was shouting on the top of my voice. And 2 days later, a guy calls me. Hi, you don't want to see your child? I'm like, I do. Why? I was thinking you should have him for the holiday. But on condition, imagine people giving me condition on my child I raised for 3 years. On condition that on the weekends he's with me. I'm like, okay. I was about to say no. Kableta on Friday had said, sometimes you have to apply wisdom in battles. You don't have to fight something you have not yet, not sure it is within your hands. And somehow, that very week, everybody that was preaching, I felt like they were preaching to me. They're like, you are there, you know, you need a promotion, but you know, you're the one going and fighting with your boss, the one who's supposed to sign the signature to your promotion. If he chooses to abuse you that week, keep quiet. If that is where it's going. So I was about to speak, as something just came and held my mouth. And I just said, okay. I was there, the mother calls me, Helen, I was thinking you should come and have this child for Easter, for Christmas, and then you will. I was like, okay. So I called the sis. I'm like, what's going on at home? Like, yeah, Ronnie and mommy are fighting over his marriage. The thing I realized is that the mother was wanting to stay with Andreas. Ronnie wanted to carry Andreas and take to the new wife. So there was that rift. Grandmother wants to stay with the child because the child comes with benefits. The grandfather leaves quite a lot of money and everything. There are benefits to kids being around. Daddy wants to play house with new wife. And then there is me, everybody who thinks they can control. Just came, picked my child. I went overnight that Friday. And I remember Dorothy, the prophet, kept on saying, visions are coming and listen to them. But when she reached me, she told me, no matter what, don't sleep there. And that's all she said. And she's like, why did I just tell you that? I'm like, me, I've understood. Don't watch. Me, I have understood. Like, what do you mean you've understood? I've just told you something very, I don't know why it even came out of my mouth. I'm like, don't worry, me, I've understood. I went, I picked my child. They tried every trick in the book that I sleep there. I said, no. God said, I will not sleep here and I will not sleep here. At 8, I went there in the morning. I left at 8 in the night. And that's the last day they ever saw Andreas, that side of the family, at 3. Little did I know that it had mentally broken down the babysitter. She would go around abusing every mnyangkore, saying, you mnyangkore, you took my child away from me. So when I brought back the child, I didn't first take it to her. I was living in this house, but then homelessness was knocking on the door. Would starve for days. And the night that broke me was that I had the money. There was a guy that I was dating that had the money. The other man would give me postino 150K.
They would give you what?
Postino of 150K. You know, someone who says, I put 150K, that family planning thing that you do. I'm like, ah, thank you.
Come on now.
But the thing is that during that period,
what does that make you feel? Do you feel cared for? Do you feel?
No. In that season, when I tell you, when you've grown up, you start reflecting, you don't realize how much you've let yourself be disrespected in the name of survival. Honestly speaking, back those days, I was in survival mode.
Yeah.
If you were solving a problem for me, I didn't care how I would put up with your toxicity. As a matter of the only thing that broke off that relationship was he sat me down. I told him, I need to go pick Andreas up and I may need like financial. It's like, no. And for me, that was always my deal breaker. If you don't accept my child, because for me, that was part of me. And it's like, actually me, I'm okay with him being with his dad. Because I'm bringing mine to stay with me. And I'm like, you really expect me to treat your child well when I don't even know the well-being of my own? It's like, so every child has to be with their father. And I'm like, and the mother? You want me to make another woman go through what I've gone through? Are you mad? White gold off. Let me tell you, do you know what white gold was in 2017? Yes, 2017.
Hmm.
Actually, I think 2018, because we had transitioned to the next year. Andreas was 3.
Yeah.
While Golden in 2017, I felt like I'd reached the pivots of life. This is a man I'd ask for rent and he would just send me 600, yet my rent was 100K. For him, I assumed my rent is like 600K. And he had never been to my house. That's the one thing I told, because I didn't want to show him that I'm broke. I had put this standard of like, oh, by the way, I have money. I can stand by my own. So I would never allow him to see my place. The guy would facilitate me. And I tell you, Postina was 150. He didn't know that crap. For him, he would throw money at everything. For him, his love language was throwing money at everything.
And that's the question I'm trying to ask. Did you...
It wasn't a question of love.
Did you even feel cared for, or did you feel like, okay, I'm rejected, but at least he's investing in it?
For me,
in the rejection?
I wasn't even thinking about it. Have you ever resigned yourself to, this is my life? That's the level I'd reached at. I don't deserve happiness. I take what I am given. And at least in here,
there's money.
There's money.
Right.
I was crying in a Benz. What are you talking about? You get? But that last day, when he told me that, I just told myself, And the thing is that I had been told to trust God. And I told myself, I am not putting myself in that position again. So I just pulled it off. And when I put it on his dashboard, he felt like, you know, tantrum. I'll be back. And he called me and said, you see, I told you we're going to do it. The way you take back rings is like, it's like a jewelry shop where you just return back, you know, defected goods. And I'm like, if it doesn't serve me, I don't stay. Like, I've treated you nice, I've treated you well. And I'm like, and my child comes with a package, just like your child comes, just like your family comes with it. I do not have family. You're only going to deal with my child. And he's like, you know what, when you come to your senses, you'll come back. Have you met me? I do not talk to my mother. You think cutting you off is hard? You've never seen my detachment. I'm like, you'll be fine. But me was saying, I'll be fine, being demanded rent. He was the one supposed to sort it. And he knew, and he wanted to use it. Of course, it became, of course, being that you're not financially empowered, then you start being a weapon. Then you have that kind of control. And I told myself, no. Landlord came and threw us out badly. Did I stop hopping home to home? Is that how I ended up being a maid in someone's house? And when I entered their bedroom to pick an iron, she called the husband's best friend and they insulted me blue black in their house and then chased me before the husband came back. And they're like, oh, a beautiful girl like me can't be doing things of being a maid. Me and the husband, we must be hiding something. Like, because she will sit down and she told me, you're too beautiful to be a maid. And I told her, that's the truth. I am beautiful to be a maid. Two, I am too smart to be a maid. I am here because I actually don't have where to go. She's like, I don't care. I knelt down and begged and I told her, I don't have where to go. Called my dad and told my dad, Daddy, I think I'm defeated. I finally accept. And actually, that's the time. You know, when you reach rock bottom, and you have nowhere further to go. And for me, that was my rock bottom. I had tried to survive all through all that. But when I'd watched Andreas drink from, it had rained and we didn't have water. The landlord had cut off water, he cut off everything. So Andreas, to show me that he was okay, he picked water, a cup, and put it in the basin. The basin was in the bathroom. We were using that water to flush. And he drank it and told me, Mommy, Oma. What do you mean, Oma? Like, Andrew started like, Mommy, I'm satisfied. Satisfied. What do you mean, satisfied? Like, I cried that day. And I told God, if you can't save me, just kill us tonight. The good thing, a friend of mine came in the morning and they came with food all of a sudden. They're like, oh, we're passing here. And we thought about Andreas. And we're like, he loves this chicken so much. So we brought it for him. Andreas ate food. Now you think it's like a 12-year-old eating. I looked at my son. I couldn't even shout like, you know, bad eating habits. I was like, eat, because we may have to survive on that for 3 days. Good thing, landlord, we locked the house. We phoned when landlord had thrown everything out on the veranda. We're like, okay. I called Nalongo. Nalongo was still angry with me. I told her I didn't have a choice. They had just taken the child. She told me, next time you take this child away from me, we are signing a contract that you never bring him back. You cannot be causing me emotional pain like this. I'm like, I agree. So Andrea stays there till he's 6, goes to school while with her, and the other woman would go to any lengths for him to be in a good school. She said, Helen, may I trust you? You'll work hard. And I think in baby class, she sits me down and she has an honest conversation with me. She tells me, Helen, I want you to go and hustle. I wanted you to go to Dubai and work. But Helen, you're too lazy. Your hard work is really up here, not in your hands. Your hands are incapable of working. And I've accepted that. I'm like, okay. She's like, do you think if you got papers, you know, school papers and stuff, do you think like they will help you, you know, in a certain way? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, and how are we going to work on, no? How are we going to work on that? I'm like, no, a friend of mine is like working on those things, but I don't know how far they are going to go. That's 2018. And she tells me, figure it out. I'll take care of Andreas. But remember, I last paid her when Andreas was 1 year. Andreas is 4. And she's like, go just figure it out. So, of course, that's when my friend tells me there's this scholarship at Covenant. Actually, I had gotten a prophecy in 2016 about journalism. Prophet Elvis comes and gives me another prophecy. And the next week, everything starts playing out for me. And I just took it as a sign. My sister told me, I don't know these things a lot about God. But Helen, when I took you to the other shaker, when they stole the laptop, she tried to take me to a shaker tonight to see who stole the... She's like, when I took you to the other shaker said something and I just realized you are a special breed. The shaker said, I remember, she's like, who is this dead person in my... No, in my room. I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, but you girl, God loves you. Imagine a Muslim telling you God loves you. Like you should be dead by now with the things you've gone through. I haven't told him anything, but he's like, but the things we have gone through and the things people have done, you should be dead. When you go back home today, worship God, pray to God and say thank you. So that moment, she's like, when we took you to that sake, the things he said, if that pastor of yours is saying those things, I believe him. I can't go to him, but I believe him. So, of course, I'm studying, and she just tells me, concentrate on studying. The school fee things, we shall figure it out. I'm homeless. I'm hoping from home to home, but I'm going to school. Within there, I got to stay at a friend's place. So the brother tries to sleep with me, and I'm like, nah, I'm not doing this. So, of course, he chases me out, and he makes my life miserable for like 2 weeks, eh? He's coming home at 4 a.m. and locking me outside and finding me very crushed up on the veranda like this. Feeling cold, but that's still the only place I can be. I can't go back to my dad and say, Daddy, Biganya again. It's not like he has a solution. The first time I told him Biganya, he didn't give me a solution. Until the man gives me an attempt, like, you either sleep with me or you leave. I'm like, I'm not sleeping. He's like, then leave. So I park, call a friend. I'm like, can I come? Meanwhile, all my friends, and that's the time I realized I had so many male friends compared to girlfriends. I had no girls to run to because I had never purposed to make friends, girls. My friends, they were mostly boys. I was too macho and too strong, so of course I was around boys. Girls were too soft for me. Now, I realize everybody I'm calling is a guy. And it's within that period that I realized every guy actually wanted to sleep with me. Every guy that I was calling my friend. So I go to this guy's place, I sleep, and I tell him I'm going for an overnight. So like, for that God of yours that you worship that does not answer your prayers, Achkolat. I'm like, you don't stop because he's not answering. So I go. You know these things where you update a status? The time status is just calm. It was a new thing.
Yeah.
We're so excited. You know, we're like, God will see me through. I come back, I find a very annoyed man because previous night he had tried to, you know. So I wake up in the morning and he's like, you're from prostituting yourself. Because he knows about the other fact. Because I told him about it and I told him I just do not want to repeat that thing where I'm just sleeping with someone or for a roof over my head. This human being throws me out. Again, I don't have where to go. I don't have girlfriends. I call another guy. This one, I think, is a pastor. Is everything.
Yeah, you're safe.
I am safe. God, you can never find me trusting pastors again. I go to his place. I know he's divorced, but I knew he's like very committed and stuff. I have a laptop and I'm trying to sell it so that I raise money for rent. The guy that I'm selling the laptop to is making my life difficult because he wants to sleep with me. At the time, I felt like there was a spirit hovering above me. So I'm talking to him in the night. I'm begging him, like, please, Vanangis, why don't you sell my laptop? Hey. A thundering slap gets on my cheek. guys. I'm too shocked. I mean, so much shocked to react. He's like, you're here talking to other men in my own house. That's the day I realized that people who undergo domestic violence, the first time they are beaten, it's a process. You know how, like, some of us, like, it's that day I walk away. Some people, it takes, like, you start processing and saying, where, like, you don't first say how dare it is, what did I do? Like, that was even the wrong question to be asking in the first place. Because even if I did something, why are you beating me? My father only slapped me once. And this man gets me by my neck and he wants to beat me again. And I'm like, you, why are you beating me? Why do you want to beat me? You think me, I'm not a man. You're in my house for free, eating my food, using everything. And you're busy. Where are you? I'm like, okay.
That's the pastor.
Mm-hmm. And he starts trying to rip my clothes. I tell him, breathe, breathe. What do you, I have tears in my eyes. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And I tell him, what do you want? I'm like, instead of tying my clothes, we can just do it peacefully. I just lay on the bed and just blacked out. Like I was awake, but I was not there. With tears in my eyes. And is this called consented rape? I don't know what it's called. I just knew I had not consented. I just knew it was either that or be beaten throughout the process. And I told myself a long time ago that if I'm ever in that position, I'll just surrender. I just lay there and he did what he did. And I got up. Again, I have this problem. I just push things down. I didn't think about that moment. I was just thinking about the slap. I got up and he was like, that's more like it. He had the common sense to pick a condom. Hallelujah. The moment I surrendered, it wasn't really about, you know, you have to do it. Yeah? It was for him, I think he felt like I'd submitted. So I go out. And of course, the first thing I seek out is God. I said, but God, why? There are songs. There's a gentleman called Nathaniel Bassey. I listen to his songs a lot.
I love him.
But nowadays that I'm in my season of testimony, I sing the same songs. I sang those songs when I like, you are God from beginning to the end. He has these nights, and I sang those songs. They're the only things I could sing while crying. I just said, I can't tell God anything. And I'd been taught that if you can't tell God anything, just sing.
I've noticed that singing really helps.
Yes.
In prayer.
So I just sang through it all, called Apostle, and it's like he could tell what had just happened. And he told me, Helen, God loves you. And I'm like, God loves me? That's funny. Has he shown you what has just happened? So this guy hears me on phone again and he comes barking, trying to hit me again, but I stand up. Funny thing is that he had a roommate in the next room. He had everything and he didn't move. He didn't move. And that's when I realized, I'm like, so someone was in the next room and they could have protected me, but they didn't. And that's the moment that, like, I'd surrendered. I'm like, the first time I was slapped, this person should have come out because they were just a doorway. I went out. I went and hid in the bathroom. He came again threatening me. And I'm talking to the same person because in that moment, it was just, I talked to him or I ran mad. I just needed God to tell me what the fuck just happened. Again, I don't have friends. I don't know where to run to. But this time I remember this lady. They were the ones that confessed me in Christ, right? It's like, let me go to these ones. I call her and she had always said, oh, anytime you are stuck, please. I'm like, ah, let me go here. At 6 a.m., I was out of that place. I stayed outside till 6. Because it again, they told me, oh, so if you want to enter me, I will lock the door. And I'm like, better out than in.
That's a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Was like, come in. I'm like, I'm not coming. So I knew being outside was my only protection because he couldn't shout and he couldn't force me because pulling would mean that I have to scream.
He has a reputation to protect.
And the wall between his house and the neighbors is very, not that big. So inside the house, no one was hearing him. Outside, because even when he was trying to be like, why are you, like, it was in a hushed tone. So me, I would speak loudly. I'm like, leave me. So again, says like, okay, if you're dead, stay here. Stay. So in his head, where am I going to report him? I was in his house for like a whole week. So where was I going? How am I convincing people that I was in the same house with the man that I'm not related to? So when I go to the pastor's place, I survive there for some time. They're not the easiest people. But I keep on saying, I can't just be picking on people's bad vibes all the time. I just have to really lessen my standards. Again, see what I'm telling myself. I'm being told to bathe from the outside. There's an inside bathroom. My clothes are kept in a garage where apparently there are snakes. And they keep on like, Helen, close that place. Snakes are there. But that's why you keep my clothes. You understand? But every day, you wake up in the morning to tell me, Helen, God showed me.
This is you going to the lady who said whenever, if, anytime you feel
I need
stuck,
help, and she's a pastor's wife too. And for her is to wake up every morning and tell me God has told her that I should give her this amount of money. God has told her that I should make for her this kind of cloth. And I had, of course, I reached that place where I told her, ah, I'll wait for God to tell me too. And she's like, hey, you don't believe it? And I'm like, but Susan, you've been with me long enough to know. You can't just come and say God has told you. Because by the time he has told you, I must have an inkling that makes us level up. Like, hey, what about when Prophet Elvis tells you? And I'm like, there's nothing Prophet Elvis has said. If I don't have an inkling to it, you don't even hear me say I receive. It's not mine. I'm like, people forget God speaks in two ways. He tells you, the person who's going to come and speak to me. And I remember quoting the Mary and Joseph thing. And I saying, he went and told Mary, hey, you're going to have a child with me, right? But he went and told Joseph, hey, Mary's going to have my child. So it works both ways. You get, he's not in the business of telling me to give you 1 million, but he has not come and put the same inkling to me in my heart to give you the same. But if you come to me and say, hey, the Lord has said you give me 1 million. If I have doubts, my pastors have told me, where there's doubt, don't even bother. Like, you see, you're listening to wrong pastors. I'm like, mm-mm. And he had said very clearly, like, by the time, if I ever come to you and say, the Lord has told me, give me 500K, better be sure you'll feel it also. You, most times you'd have even come thinking about it. You're like, oh, I want to give. But maybe you'll be there contemplating about the exact amount of money to give. But you'll have the inkling. So when she was telling me this, I was like, you're keeping my clothes in the garage. What am I exactly rewarding? I'm bathing from a dilapidated bathroom. What exactly am I preserving? You're telling your kids every day how I'm a single mom and, you know, they should not end up like me. Your kids are disrespecting me. Kids that I am like 10 years older than are disrespecting me and just telling me, Helen, they are just telling you the truth.
Whoa.
Then you sit me down and say, why don't you call this cowboy who likes you to send us money for chicken? But you're the one very one telling your kids I'm a prostitute, that I am a slut and I sell myself to survive. Because as a pastor, I came to you and told you. That's one of the reasons I actually do not trust. I do not tell pastors my secrets anymore. Like, I come to you and I tell you, oh, by the way, I did this. And it's one of the things that made me put them out there openly. So that even when you say it, I'm like, ah, that's general information. I already told it to so and so and so and so and so. And I realized actually in speaking, I was actually healing. But before, because I was so secretive about it, I'd be like, so this is, because it's heavy on my heart, I'm telling it to you to like listen it. Maybe you understand me. And she's there telling it to her kids. So that's the moment I said, no, I am not doing this to myself. I am telling the whole world about me. And in that time, remember, I'm coming to Cavendish and I'm studying. I'm working.
You had already secured the scholarship.
I just knew one thing. I have to attend class. I really have to attend class. Oh, Jesus Christ. By the time I got to complete, I reached a point where I just sat, breathed. When I was just out of church, actually, my head was just in one thing. Let me concentrate on one thing. Let me concentrate on my child. Because I had to make reflection and say, okay, I say I don't have money, but every time they want money for choir clothes, I have them. I say I don't have money, but every time there's time to give, I am giving.
Mm.
But why is it that on my child's, it disappears. Hmm? Why is it when it's to like pamper me, it disappears?
Right.
I was like, I called Nalang. I'm like, ah, bring Andreas. So, and the good thing, it was COVID time around 2020. Now, I just put all the love. My dad had died. And I think I just need again an escape place to just put all that love and just grief and everything. And I think from 2020 till now, my relationship with him has somehow improved. Like, by the time I brought him back into my life, of course, at first I was so brutal. And that's why I think I'm passionate about mental health, kids and women, because those are the things that really define me. I just started reflecting on my own actions of okay, if I beat him, would it solve the problem?
Mm-hmm.
If I talked to him like this, what would happen? At that time, I'd met Martha from MCI, and she kept on like pushing me, like, no, Helen, that's excessive. You can't put this on him. Oh, he's a child. That is what he's supposed to act as. So I started learning motherhood now that I'm entering my 30s. Yes. Like in 2020, I was like, what, 27? That's
after what? After 7 years.
Yes, after 7 years. And I started learning motherhood of like, oh, mothers listen.
Mm.
I cut myself some slack too, because again, who was my mother figure growing up really?
Right.
When was I supposed to learn what motherhood is when what I grew up being beaten, being abused, so like I was just doing what I was done to. As a child, and I even tell this to parents now, I'm like, do to your child, knowing that what you're doing to them is what they're going to do to their children, because they think that is what is done. I had to sit down and ask myself, but I used to hate this. Why am I then doing it to my child? And then I was like, this single motherhood thing shouldn't define me. So I said, I'm going to forgive my ex, because every time he would call, I'd be insulting the hell out of him. So I made a choice to just forgive him. And not this forgiving of like, no, I've forgiven you. If you want to access your child, he's here. He's grown up enough. He can't forget me. Even if you want to come and take him, it's okay. I've forgiven you and I'm not going to hold on to that anger anymore. I've you and your mother. I just don't want to be in the same space with your mother though. But I've forgiven you. So I let that go. And when I realized that I forgave him, I started having accountability too. On where I'd gone wrong with my child, because half of the time I was blaming him. If he was here, if he was doing this, if he was providing, if he was doing this, and then I realized, but I've done 7 years without this nigga. What's my problem?
Why am I still clashed onto him?
Why am I still cornering myself? And that's the thing. Every single mother I meet, when they're like, and I'm like, one, forgive yourself. You made a mistake. You made a wrong choice. It's okay. It happens. People make those choices. The only difference, most of them live without being pregnant or they jack out the kids. You made your choice. You made the choice to keep the child. Whether to keep the man or for yourself, you made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is your first step. Your second step is to understand that it's not going to be an easy journey. It's going to be hard. You are going to cry. But at the end of the day, it's fruitful. It's going to take you maybe 5 years to get back on your feet. It may even take longer or less. It's just that you have to accept that process, that it's going to happen. That there are some 2 years that are going to die along there. You're breastfeeding, taking care of a child and everything. And then there's you trying to get a job and maybe failing or just being undervalued or you being desperate to just take any job that comes your way. By the time you remember your self-worth, like 2 years I've died.
Mm.
And then you start demanding for more. By the fifth year, you've gotten your confidence back. The child is amazing. But then how you behave within those 5 years also now matters, because those 5 years are very critical to development.
Yeah.
I look at my child and I know that things could have been different if I just raised him in a totally different environment.
Mm.
He and I have a relationship. He loves me. I love him. We at that whole sister-brother level. I beat him, yes, but discipline, not the whole beating that I've just cringed again. I remember the time I got Mike and threw him across the room. But till date, I asked myself, but what was wrong with me? Why was I doing that? I remember the days I kicked him and I'm like, but what? But if I look through, that's how also I used to be punished. So,
and it's almost the only way you were able to release your emotions.
Exactly.
And frustrations.
I didn't even, let me tell you, depression in women is bad. Because for you, you think you're just stressed. You just think life is being life. And it's like admitting that you're depressed means that you have admitted that you are failing. And nobody wants to do that. Oof. But for me, it's understanding that you're not in the battle alone. They used to tell me siguasos and I would be pissed. But nowadays I tell it to myself, I'm not the first one.
Mm.
Neither am I going to be the last one, but I make the choice on whether I become that statistic or not. That's my choice. I either become those mothers that I see or I just become a better example. Nowadays, I look at some, like a friend of mine gave birth recently. And she's like, Helen, I just can't wait to be like you.
But she's met the, you know, rebranded me, the changed me.
Oh, they didn't see the other person.
They did not see the other person. She's like, I just want to have a relationship with my child like you have with yours. I want to be able to just, you know, walk with my child. And I'm like, ooh. I am an example.
We are set to celebrate motherhood, Mother's Day.
Yes, Mother's Week.
What are your emotions on that? Where do your emotions lie? And I'm asking this question in the middle of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, perhaps I have finally brought the person someone asked for. Mm-hmm. Because I think last year I had never thought about it.
Yeah.
Maybe last year.
Yeah.
Was celebrating Mother's Day. And I think I saw this person right. That was at the end of the day.
Yeah.
When celebrations have been up there. People have been sharing their mother's pictures. And in the evening, she put up a post talking about how she can't relate. She has a relationship with her dad, but with her mom,
she just can't.
And I had never thought about that, because that is something you find on Father's Day. So for the mothers, you almost feel, you're like, wait, actually this also exists.
Funny thing is that it's a lot. It's a lot. By the way, even the ones you see that say, I celebrate my mother, it's just for social media. I'm one of those people that subscribe to cutting off parents. I spend a year without talking to my mom. I don't hate her. I just don't relate with her.
There's no relationship.
There's no relationship. And funny thing is that most people are in that cycle of keeping contact because maybe they have siblings. Me, I'm glad I'm the oldest, like to my brother. My brother, you'll never find my brother saying, oh, let's go visit moms. Nah. He'll even go to the village and leave me. He'll never even go ask me. He just knows. Even my mother has reached a point of said, man, that child. But I don't blame her. Sometimes I feel guilty. And let me tell you, the guilt touches you. Like, but it's not the guilt of like, why aren't I close to my... It's this guilt of like, why don't I have a relationship with my mom? Why wasn't it there? Like, why didn't she love me to the point of me like being panicked like my siblings to go see her? If they tell me my mother is going to die, and I'm like, eh, what is she suffering from now? And it's, I don't lose sleep at all. Completely. But my dad was in hospital and I was running mad. They told me my dad is dead and I was frozen. And the first thing I thought about was like, why isn't it my mom instead? Because if they told me by then my mom had died, I was going to continue doing whatever I was doing. Then I go later. My entire life, my mom has only given me 50,000 shillings. I am 31. 50,000 shillings. She has sold all her properties. My brothers have enjoyed that. My sister has. I have not. I went to my mother and told her, I'm going to campus. You've not been supporting me. Please support these guys so that they're encouraged. She promised me 800K. I called and she's like, is it your money? Why don't you call your dad? And now they'll call me and like, ah, your mom sold the last house. Now let's buy her a plot of land and build. And I'm like, yeah, in my own timing. Right now the man I have is mine. But I see people, like, I see people get excited to build their mom houses. And I'm like, okay. I am actually more excited to build it for my stepmother because for her, she was more of the mother to me. I was in senior six vacation and my mother was wearing my clothes. Then I didn't understand. Now I remember that the fact that she was young, she was just what, 34? So for her, those were her clothes. Now I'm 31 and see how I dress. But because she was my mom, I assumed she was older. You get. And of course, I judged her from that point of view, like, why are you putting on my clothes? She was putting on my like my crop tops and a whole, you know, three-quarter short. She had literally finished all the Eldena in my...
Do you feel like there was some sort of competition?
Yes. Huh. It reached, I felt like, because we look like each other. So I felt like there was this need to show that me, I'm the cuter version. And the whole thing was like, she would throw her clothes to me. So I put on those ones. And then she'd want to put on mine. But I'm a girl. I'm 18. You can imagine the clothes I was putting on. Singlets. Really, really short skirts. Like, I'd bring those clothes to the village and my stepmom would, like, take them away and tell me, you put on my long skirts, you get. So when my mom would see them in me, she'd be like, hey, you want these things you have? She doesn't realize my stepmother is being busy being a mom and saying, hey, this is a village. Well, this can work in Kampala. In the village, it doesn't work. You should like put on long things and stuff. If you feel like these are long skirts, just do trousers.
That was my stepmom, and she would have these conversations with me. My mother, on the other hand, would be rummaging through my...
To see what she can take.
She would always take my bag first and just check on what she will take. My mom, I found her when she had given birth. My siblings were so happy. We had a baby girl. Me, I was like, I don't have a relationship with my last sister. I only met her when she was 2. The time I went back, she was not there. Most of the time, like, your job is to give birth and abandon. And she, of course, she looked at me. And even on my father's day, she said, I think she wishes that it's me who had died. I'm like, ah, you read my mind. And she's like, you see, I've told you. And I looked at her like this. Of course, my stepsister doesn't understand because she really grew up with her. And I'm just doing it like this year. Like maybe even starting last year, I just start processing her thought process. Now that I'm in her age bracket with that within, she did all these mistakes. I'm starting to think, I'm like, okay, what do 30s do to you? Now I'm in city, I'm educated, and this is what 30s do to me. The panic to have a husband, the panic to have another child, the panic, all that stuff. What about her in her 30s, uneducated in the village? The only husband she knew used to beat her, my dad. And funny thing is that I never judged my dad for beating her. Can you imagine?
You saw it?
I didn't see it. My siblings did, though. And for me, it is now that you sit down, and I'd never judged my dad for it, even if I had had it. I used to be like, oh, she deserves it. Now that I'm a woman and I've gone through it, I just know she didn't at whatever thing they think she did. Now it's now that I start cutting her some slack, but still there's this whole thing of like, well, you were, you understand, there's this whole thing. I'm like, I was also became a young mom and I was still there for my child. You could have found ways, you understand, of being there for me in your little way, like my dad did. My dad was never available in my life, but he always found ways to be in my life. And I cut her some slack. I realized mental health challenges that come with illness, thinking you're going to die. Addiction. When she came back to life, she decided to live her life like it is the last day. Every day she lives her life like it's the last. Every day for the last 17 years, she's lived her life like it's the last day. And within that, she became addicted. And I tried to raise the point. And even me, I found out older of like, what are some of the reasons she could have turned? Because this woman used not to take alcohol at all. All of a sudden, she starts taking alcohol. All of a sudden, she becomes worse than she already was. I was on my dad's barrier and she was tipsy. And we were fighting because she was forcing me to look at my dad's face. I'm like, you, I will beat you. If I've told you I don't want to see him, I don't want to see him. What's your problem? It's my stepmother calling me aside. It's like, Helen, it's okay if you don't want to see him. And I'm like, see, this is what mothers look like. This. Try it sometime.
Wow.
Just try it. And you know you're saying it in like Ruchiga. Or Uganda, like, chigezeko, you know? I called umu, just once like this. Wakanda, but it's dechukeza. Can be my mom. I'm like, she is. Then there's you. I'm not sure whether you're my singer or your mama. The struggle I have had to deal with not to become her. Every day, I wake up and I will take care of my kid. Like, and if you move around this workspace, everybody calls me mom. But nobody knows that the mommy in me is me literally being what no one ever was to me. And it's something a therapist had to tell me. Do you notice maybe because no one ever did these things for you, you feel the need to do them for others, like you're feeling in that? And I never thought about it. And I was like, wait, what? And I started tracing back my life from high school. All the friends I had, girls, boys, they had this whole big sister, mom vibe around me. Even with Ronette, it's taken me strides to change it. Because when I met her, I was in mommy zone. For me to move from mommy zone to her, just her friend, the person she can fight with, quarrel with and stuff. But I have these ones who don't even, I don't fight with. I say and it happens. They're like, yes, mom. And it's something because I had noticed a pattern. My boyfriend, like, your problem is that you like to mummify everything. And at first it was an insult. I'm like, what is your problem? How have I ever tried to mummify you? Do you sleep with your mom?
Oh my.
And then he's like, you have not gotten the point. And he was trying to explain to me how I get all my mommy traits and just throw them at him. I am ensuring what he has dressed, what he has, it's where he has gone.
And I have had to even consciously be awake. And I always tell these things. I do not have children, by the way. I'm a born again that is very pro parenthood.
Planned parenthood.
Planned parenthood. And people wonder, and I tell them, honestly speaking, if you're not sure about motherhood, postpone it. Because we're already a damaged generation. The millennials were damaged. They gave birth to Generation Zs. Now the Generation Zs are more damaged because millennials were trying not to do what Generation X did to them. You understand? And then they ended up worsening the entire situation. Now I'm wondering for Generation Y, where my son is, where I feel like I should discipline him, but then I should give him freedom, but then I don't know what to do. Because if you notice 1990 kids, we don't know what
I think your boy
doing.
I think your boy is on the, it's called Gen Alpha.
Uh-huh. So in my head, I'm like, millennials don't know what they're doing when it comes to parenthood. They just know we don't want to be what our mothers were to us.
I know.
You understand?
That's what is
Gen Z's
happening.
Have been given too much freedom because people were trying not to be that. But then Gen Z's and millennials are busy giving birth to alphas and we are all a confused batch. And then before you know it, we are having disrespectful kids because we think they should have a voice because our parents never allowed us to speak. We should be supportive no matter what because you know our parents were not supportive of our dreams and everything. I even live with that fear. I'm like, yes, I don't want to be my mom. I don't want to be my foster mom. But at the same time, I want to be a responsible mom. And balancing it, I'm like, Jesus. You understand? I woke up today morning and Andreas slept at 3 a.m. He was like, Mommy, I played, but I want to watch. So I was working. And then he was watching his cartoons. The cartoons were very educative, so I really didn't mind. I had to tell him, nigga, it is 3, go sleep. My brother was out by 7. I had to be out by 9. But I don't have a maid. My salary does not allow for a maid. And I can't come with him wherever I'm going because I'm going to run up quite a lot back and forth. I usually like walking with him if I am. I wake up and I tell him, and it's not the first time. It's very many times now to the point that we have even had people who have come to rob the house and he's around. But the good thing, we have trained him not to open the door. But see the child I'm raising, a child that is at 10, he knows that I have to be responsible for a house. My son, at 10, I didn't know how to operate a Paco. Andres knows how to operate a Paco, operate a rice cooker, operate a laptop, run a home, clean, boil himself tea and be in the house and entertain himself. Be responsible enough to close the house and gun play. And will time himself at 4 and come back and go shower. Is that the mom I envision myself to be? No. Can I afford a maid? No. Is my brother available? He tries. He really, really tries. But there's so much you can do. Our workspaces don't allow us to have our kids at work. You get? So what do you do? You're a single mom. You have no backup. You have nowhere. So you're teaching your child independence instead of being a mother to them and letting them be children.
Mm-hmm.
Andreas is a child sometimes, but I sometimes hear his reasoning. And I'm like, dear Lord, no. Mommy, I know you don't have money, so let's leave that. Excuse you? At 10, I was throwing tantrums and saying, me, that is what I want. Why aren't you doing that? Do that. I want you to do that. Because I know at 10, that's what you should be doing. Andreas is busy understanding my pockets. Andreas is defending why I have my hair staying in for so long. My mom has to pay fees. She can't be going to the salon all the time. My child shouldn't be defending me. He shouldn't be defending why he doesn't have enough clothes or why he doesn't have toys or a bicycle. Like, my mom, when she has money, she'll buy those things. For now, she doesn't have. He should be throwing a tantrum. But he's too independent because mommy has to work. And he has this thing in his head, my mom has to work. My mom is working for my fees. My mom is working for our livelihood. He grew out of my bed. He slept with me till like 9. And at 9, he had a very honest conversation with me. It is, mommy, can we talk? Okay. What's up? I'm a big boy.
True.
So, hey, mommy, when it gets hot, your boobs be showing.
Oh, dear.
I'm like, okay. Not information I needed in my head. Okay, go on. Okay, the bed is big, but it's not enough. Because I sleep bad, you sleep bad. I'm like, okay, I want my space. I'm like, space. when you say space, what do you mean? Like my own bed. You see, my friend at school, they say they have their own bedroom. I'm like, okay, mommy, we work on. Mommy, I know you don't have money. So for now, we are going to go and add the other two chairs. I'm like, okay, to be my bed. And that's how my son, at the age of 9, in his childish wisdom, said the L chair that mommy has can be turned into a bed. My child nosebleeds and refuses to come to me for first aid. He goes and does his own first aid. And I'm begging him, please, please. Mommy, it's okay. It's just a nosebleed. At your age, I would be thinking I'm going to die. But I have a son that I sometimes sit down and I'm like, you come back and he's in the house like till 8. If my brother has not yet come back, I'm like, what have you eaten? It's like, I did some noodles. You did what? You should have been throwing a tantrum somewhere in the neighbors to call me.
Mm-hmm.
No. And it's a conversation I've sat down with him. I'm like, oh, how do you feel? Like, mommy, like, no, I know you have to work. I know daddy doesn't help. I'm like, okay, that is information I've protected you from. It's like, I know I can hear him the way he talks to you. Okay. I've been picking the calls from a wrong place. Noted. Because you have to protect him regardless. And it's something that I promised myself. I'm not making my child hate his dad. Because at the end of the day, he is going to need his dad. And clearly, I'm taking long giving him a father figure. So if I take away the only image, if the dad decides to be active at age of 12, it's okay. Let them start from there.
Mm.
But imagine starting, and it's something, it's about a journey of forgiveness. As single mothers, you keep on saying, I could never after. No. He has no crime. If daddy feels like the love for his son has only come at 12, it's okay, let them start from there. Because that child is going to be affected by that rejection.
Right.
While you like it or not. So for me, it's something that I did not like. I could not, took me long to embrace, but I had to close my eyes and say, anytime this man comes back and he says, I want to be active in my child's life, I'll be like, it's okay, let him go. Let him be the one that makes a choice and says, mommy, according to dad's behavior, I do not think that's what I want in my life.
Right.
And I will respect that.
Right.
But
right.
I'm not sitting him down and telling him, you, your dad is this, your dad is that. Of course, as the 10 years, those things have gotten out of my mouth. But I've learned to be more conscious now. And he's like, but mommy, does daddy love me? I'm like, yeah, he does. He just has a weird way of showing it.
Mm.
But to me, he tells me he loves you. Oh, but mommy, when does daddy be like, why can't he keep any of his promises? And they're like, well, it's a character about someone, really. It's not really about him being your dad. It's really more about his character. Someone who lies, it's not really about them lying to you. It's just, it says much more about their character than it says about you. And it's something that I have to teach him so that he does not allow the things his dad does to define him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what your dad lies, it's okay. You don't have to take the same route and you don't have to feel. There's a time he came and told me, mommy, that he has ever made so many promises. He does not fulfill. That man is a liar. He's a bad man. We're even coming up the stairs. I sat him down and told him, but does mommy fulfill her promises? Like, yes. Do aunties and your uncles, mommy's friends, do they fulfill their promises? Like, yes. Every birthday of yours, do they show up? Like, oh, maybe this one. Did we apologize? No, for not showing up and made up for it? Like, yes. And I'm like, that's what you should look at. What daddy does or does not do, that's on him. It's not on you. And you cannot blame yourself for that. Because he had said it. Maybe, you know, he just doesn't love me. Maybe I'm not his child. You know, because he knows he has other kids, right? And I'm like, whether he decides to take care of his other kids or not you, that's more about him. That's a he problem, not a you problem. You have mommy, you have uncles, you have aunties. You have Uncle Tamkede, you have Uncle Jagapan. Do they know, are they there for you? They're like, yes. Do they give you whatever you want? Yes, Uncle even gives me TV and I watch it. I'm like, that. Think about that. Hmm? Don't let what daddy does define you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so should I forgive him? I'm like, if he says sorry, forgive him. And even if he doesn't, don't dwell on it. If he promised you a bike and he does not fulfill it, come and ask me. Come and tell me, mommy, dad promised me to buy me a bike, but he has not bought it. I've waited for this long. Could you please buy me a bike?
Right.
I'll follow up and I'll consider. After that,
he stopped. They had a phone call earlier this year, and he was making promises and just said, don't make your promises. It's okay. You'll do what you want to do. I was like, this man is going to think I'm the one who poisoned this child. Andres was on the phone like, daddy, don't make any promises. It's like, you don't fulfill them. You leave them. You just do what for you. Mommy will tell you what I want. And he kept quiet and he brought back the phone. First of all, he's not good at speaking on phone, so he brought back the phone. Like, mommy, have. But also, I have to note, everybody does motherhood differently. Just because Helen forgives doesn't mean you should. Some people that have done sins that are quite unforgivable. All I can ask for mothers is forgive yourself in everything. Because the bitterness, the anger, everything you feel is because you are blaming yourself. You're looking back at the red flags and saying, what? How could I not see that?
Right.
You're looking back at decisions you could have taken that could have changed the course of your life and you did not take them. You are not angry at the other person. You are angry at yourself. And the first step to healing and to loving your child and being more proactive with your child is forgiving yourself. Acknowledge, yes, that I did wrong. I chose the wrong man. I chose the wrong time. I did the wrong thing. I was 20. I had no business opening my lips. I should have concentrated on school. At the end of the day, I have a role I played in what brought this child on earth.
Mm-hmm.
While I can't turn back time, I can change the one up ahead than getting stuck there. You'll see how your child will thrive, will be happy. The joy I feel when I see Andreas thrive is just too much for me because I had to learn to forgive myself. Now when I beat Andres, it's because I know now this is discipline. And even then, I don't even go beyond a slab. You understand? Today, he lost my keys. And I just said, you know what? It's okay. Whether I beat him or not, the keys are not going to show up. Let's just find a solution. Old me? That boy would have wounds.
He'll die on the cross.
Yes. Right now, he'd be dying for sins of his other children. But it's something I just breathed and said, it's okay. Mistakes happen. But before, why was he making mistakes? Why was he doing things like his dad? You start even seeing, and the worst bit is that those kids, you know, that have the worst dads look like them and have mannerisms like them, that's why I'm saying if you don't forgive yourself, you keep on seeing those flags. The first thing I had to teach my child was not to lie to me, ever. So even today when he lost the keys, I knew he was telling the truth. He said, mommy, I had the keys here. They went, I closed the door. I went here. I went to play. I had the keys in my hand. I forgot them in my hand instead of putting them in the pocket. But when I remembered, I went to put them in the chair because I didn't want to lose them. But I don't know what happened. They fell in the chair, but I was only able to retrieve two. I realized that maybe the third key maybe got lost while he was playing. But for him, he didn't notice that. And in his recollection, all the keys were on the key holder. And that's it. So I said, so if I beat him, he has not lied to me. And it's something that I've told him, if you tell me the truth, it's better. He has not lied to me. He has given me an account of his day. So what am I beating? He has acknowledged that he made a mistake. He said, I made a mistake. I forgot. I forgot and left the keys in my hands. So if he has already come to the acknowledgement of the mistake he has done, then what am I beating? Because usually you beat so that they know they have done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Him, he has already noticed. The old me would not have seen that. But because I've forgiven myself and I've told myself he is a child and he's allowed to do childish things. And besides, I have no business keeping a house key with a 10-year-old. You understand?
Helen, we've got to wind up.
Honestly, I can speak forever because for me, my child and I, a whole book to be written.
You've got to write it.
I know.
To write it.
But also,
in just a minute.
Also, people who are there with toxic parents, this Mother's Day, I'll tell you, normalize cutting off. It is not wrong. It will weigh heavy on you. You would feel like maybe there's something wrong with you as a child because, you know, people have gone through. But people are affected with behaviors of parents differently.
Mm-hmm.
And normalize cutting off parents. Just don't cut off aunties. You know those aunties that, no, even parents, until they can acknowledge your parent knows you were sexually assaulted by an uncle, but they are there shushing you, cut them off. You understand? Your parent knows you were in a terrible marriage and they're not doing anything to help you, but they're cut. Let me tell you, this Mother's Day, learn to cut off mothers, especially mothers. Because mothers are the biggest enablers of the tragic things sometimes we as children go through. Mothers are enablers. They will tell you, be strong. I have had my mother with my own mouth telling my sister to be strong in a toxic, abusive marriage. And when I spoke, she said, what does Helen know about marriage? She only knows how to lose them, not to keep them. And I'm like, because me, I know where to cut off, right? But because that is seen as failure.
Yeah.
You understand? It's seen as, you walking away is seen as failure. You're not a terrible mother if you wish the best for your children. If the man you're with is abusive, the best gift you can give to your children as a mother today is walk away. Because those kids, are going, two things are going to happen to them. One of them are going to, one may just decide, you know what, it's a normal thing to be beaten by a man. Another one may just come out and say, like, me, I'll never allow to be beaten. Make your choice. If it's a boy, they will either grow up knowing that the women are supposed to be beaten, or they will not want anything like what happened to their mother. But so many times, it's the other nice side never happens. You're killing your children's esteem. They do not believe in love. It's Mother's Day. Mothers out there. Mothers out there. Choose your children. And choosing children means, I am done. I have explained how I left relationships. It's not because these men didn't love me, at least in their own way. At least for them, they know, they think they loved me. But I had to think about my child first.
Yeah.
While we understand we want to choose happiness for ourselves, but you cannot ever be truly happy if your child is sad. Never. You're just forcing happiness. You are just excluding them. Actually, if your mother can cut you off for her own happiness, you can cut her off for your own happiness. And it's something that people need. Any woman out there in an abusive relationship, it's Mother's Day. Choose to walk for your child. Choose to walk. What you think you are keeping, that sanctity you are keeping, that pride you are keeping, that validation you are looking for, if for the story I've been telling, all of it is connected. That validation, that point you're trying to prove, you know, things will get better.
As we come to the end of this conversation, Helen.
Yes.
How do you feel?
Yeah, just looking at my story, I think I have a lot of, it's a mixture. I have anger. I have sadness. I have fear. But I have joy. Like, I feel like the future is bright. And I have love. Like, yes, I have these desires that I feel like, Father Lord, if you give me more time, promise not to disappoint you.
Yeah.
Of course, I am angry at just not coming to the realization of some things way earlier. I just feel like, of course, you get frustrated. But at the same time, I have this whole optimistic thing that I feel like it will get better. And every day is a like learning. Even when I was speaking today, I was like, hey, but Helen, you understand?
Yeah.
Because this, like I said, I know how to put, I pulled them out today, but after, when I leave that door, I'll push them down again. But I'm optimistic to the future. I'm really proud of where I've come from, to where I've gone, and I'm where I'm yet to be. If someone had told the 21-year-old me that I'm actually going to be a journalist like I always dreamed of when I was a child, I would have said, yeah, nah. So I'm proud. I'm proud of the mother I've become. Yeah, a lot of things are missing. I fear that I may lose touch with my child. You know, he'll become too independent and, you know. But then at the same time, I feel like he'll understand. There's a bit of understanding. And I hope one day he extends me that grace, though I've not extended the same to my mother. disappointed. You know, I've been speaking about my mother, and again, reflections on how my life could have been different if she just had been proactive in my life. But I have this whole, what could have been? if I'd actually grown up with my parents. And it's not started today, like it's been there. And today, actually, when I speak, I'm like, but how different would my life have been if I'd grown up with my mom? Just looking at my siblings and everything. But I'm also amazed. I've been talking and I'm like, I'm amazed at the superpower. Everybody used to say, well, Helen, you're so strong. And I never knew what do they mean by I'm so strong. But just speaking today, I just realized that if I just lent this life to any of my friends, none of them would be alive. So I understand now when they say, but Helen, you are strong. I hate that compliment. People think they're giving me a compliment. The two compliments I hate. I hate, but Helen, you are strong. But Helen, you are intelligent. The fear. I'm insecure at my abilities about being a mother. I feel like I could be better. Sometimes I find myself comparing myself to mothers I see on social media. I wish I could be that. But then I cut myself some slack. And I tell myself I can only do so much with what I have. And it's a practice I've been doing every time I get some kind of insecurity about my abilities. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, isn't it nice to laugh about misery?
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story and being vulnerable enough. And I hope that someone can draw some kind of inspiration from your story. Yep.
Oh, dear woman out there. Right now you're crying, but you're going to look back and be like me today, laughing at your problems. And be like, God, I used to cry. I'm just proud of myself that I've finished this whole entire conversation without crying. It means I'm healing.
Yeah, at some point I was like, how is she?
Yeah.
How is she going on?
This is the first time I finished this conversation without crying.
Is it? Can you guess how long it is?
It must be more than an hour.
It's 3 hours.
Wow.
Thank you so much for staying with us to the very end. I really had doubts about releasing a 3-hour episode. So thank you so much for hanging out with us to the very end. And if you loved this episode, do me a favor and hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Castbox, Podbean, or any podcast platform of your choice. It is by the power of our community that we shall make this podcast grow. Also, feel free to share your insights about what connected with you on YouTube. Do it in the comment section and on social media. Make sure you tag us. We are at #Time with Navguzi Chwanka on Facebook and Instagram and on X. Our handle is at HTNKPodcast, or you can use the hashtag #HTNKInstation. In case you want to get in touch with us via email, you can check the show notes. The email is available. The phone number is also available. Catch you next week.